Welcome to Al Berman Live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California. This is episode 30. And the flute signifies the call to worship, the call to worship the podcast. I did a little slight variation again. If you've been following my podcast here, you noticed I did a little bit of variation on my flute theme. And I'm going to do that from time to time because I have that kind of creative freedom on this show. It is a hot, gorgeous, wonderful, beautiful day here in Southern California. Last I checked about an hour ago, it was 79 degrees in the valley where I live, because I do live in the valley. And it is Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to anybody who's a father. And I know many people, their fathers are no longer here, and I'm sorry about that, and I hope you have fond memories of your dad. My dad, unfortunately, my dad is still here. I don't get to see him that often, although I did see him today on Facebook, because my sister, he lives with my sister, my mom and dad, they all live with my sister and my niece, in one big, happy house. And there was a picture of my dad on. I go on Facebook, and here's my dad with a Father's Day gift, and I sent him a Father's Day gift, and I sent him a little message, a little personal message, which touched him, and that's great, and it's I don't know what else to say. It's Father's Day, Daddy's Day. You know, my dad, I know what else to say. You know, if I have any comedic talent, I say if, I don't know, maybe I'm deluding myself here. And maybe I'm not really that funny. But if I have any comedic talent, I do believe that I'm predisposed genetically to it through my dad. Because my dad was and is a very funny person. Although as he gets older, sometimes he thinks to be funny is just to be really loud. But I remember as a kid in my neighborhood, my dad kind of going off into bits. I don't think he knew they were bits. I don't think he thought they were bits, but he was doing like kind of stuff in the neighborhood and just convulsing people. And me just being a little kid, just amazed and mesmerized by it. So, yes, I do think I am genetically predisposed to having comedy in me. Comedy in me and through me. So, happy Father's Day to my dad and all the other fathers. Okay, and then I talked to my mom. My mom has an interesting habit. Whenever I talk to her, she'll just say, it doesn't matter what I say to her, she'll say, oh, so what else is doing? And I said, Mom, I could say to you, Mom, I just discovered the cure for cancer. And she go, that's nice. What else is doing? Well, I ran a 10K in my sleep. That's fantastic. What else is doing? So I don't know. I just think it's just something she says. What else is doing? What else is doing? Okay. Latest update in the building. I have been informed by the new managers, actually by the male person of the manager, that he said, okay, they listened to my podcast, and he said, Aaron, he said, enough with the gushing, okay? Stop with the gushing already. And and I said, okay, I will. I think, I was so positive that maybe it was becoming kind of negative. And I wasn't making it up. I was truly feeling this. But now, I was going to stop gushing anyway. I think I was going to naturally, organically stop the gushing. I think that I was heading to a gush-free zone. But Aaron, he said, maybe just put a cap on that, I don't want to see him walking around, going on strike with signs going, no more gushing! No more gushing! Or it might get ugly. It might get ugly. He might just get in my face and say, hey, look, boy, let me tell you something. I don't want to hear you gushing anymore about me and my wife's abilities to run this building, okay? I don't want to hear no gushing. I don't want to hear no compliments. I don't want to hear nothing. I just want you to pay your rent, do your little podcast in your little room, and just keep to yourself. Why am I talking in a southern accent? Aaron does not talk that way. I don't know. It's just a kind of a redneck character that I did, and I hope you enjoyed it. I saw an interesting thing this past week in my neighborhood. It's amazing what people will do, you know, when they need money. There were two kids. I want to say they're kids. They were either in their late teens, early 20s, okay? So not like kids, not like, you know, toddlers, but, you know, two young people. I think it was a guy and a girl. Sitting on a couch. They had the couch on right by the curb on the street. It looked like, I guess, a leather couch, a faux leather couch. I'm not sure. You know, it had that kind of look to it. I'm not an expert on furniture. I'm not an expert on anything, really. But and they were sitting there, and they had signs plastered all over the couch, $100. So they were sitting there trying to sell this couch for $100, and it just made me wonder, you know, is somebody going to just drive down the street and go, I want that $100. What a deal. What a deal. Give me that couch. Yeah, just get up. We'll dust it off and put it in the back of my truck here. I don't know. I live not too far from several discount furniture places. And I would venture to guess you probably can't get a couch for $100. But I bet you could get a pretty good deal that wouldn't be too much more. I'm not sure. I could be wrong. I don't know. Maybe it would be like $200-$400. But you could probably get financing. And the point is that you would have a couch that was brand new. Not one that was two people, strangers, are sitting on. I mean, I don't want a couch that other people's butts have been on. I want a butt-free couch, okay? I guess when I was younger, it didn't matter. But when I was younger, you know, I would just get, you know, somebody would have a couch. They would give you a couch or whatever. They'd give you a mattress, you know. But now, you know, as I get on in my years, I like to have brand new furniture. That's right. Why am I talking like this? I wonder if I'll ever, if I get to live to be like really old, will I eventually go talk like this? Is that what happens? Do you one day talk like, hi, how are you? And then the next day is, hey, what's going on? My voice changed. I used to think when I was a kid, all the old people in my neighborhood, or most of the old people in my neighborhood, had thick Yiddish accents. You know, they talk like, you don't hear the accent anymore because all those people are gone. What's up? What's going on? Hello. They didn't say what's going on. But I thought that when I was older, when you got older, you just naturally morph into an old Jewish person, whether you're Jewish or not. And that could still be true. I miss those. That's that character that Eddie Murphy did in Coming to America. Those people are pretty much gone. And we have the new Russian, Polish immigrants are coming, but they don't seem to have that kind of accent. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening, but I want that accent back. You know, and I'm going to maybe start a petition where people can sign. We can sign a petition to bring the old Yiddish accent back. We want the old Yiddish accent back. All right. Okay. So, next on my agenda here of dazzling podcast, I was reading that Warren Buffett, once a year, I believe it is, does a, you know, raffles off a luncheon. You know, you get to have, you can win a luncheon, not raffles off, but they do a bidding, I guess, you know, and the money goes to charity. And somebody, I guess the idea is, you know, Warren Buffett being one of the if not the top financial person on the planet, so one of the top two or three, whatever, that knows about money and how to make money and how to invest money and understands all that stuff. And I guess the whole point is that you have lunch with him, and I guess you could ask him questions. You could pick his brain. What would be the point of having lunch if, what are you going to do, talk about movies? You know? But this person, they paid $3.5 million. You know, if you've got $3.5 million, maybe you don't need Warren Buffett's advice. Well, maybe you do. Maybe you actually need it more then, because then you have more money to invest. Okay, take that back. But I was thinking, like, what if, you know, you get together with Warren Buffett? You know, it's the day of the luncheon, and you know, and he's kind of not in the greatest mood. And you go and you have lunch, and then he spends, like, most of the lunch just complaining about the food and the service. You know, he's looking at it like, you know, waitress, you know, can we get some water, please? And you go, Warren, can I ask you, I want to know, should I put my money in what stock? Hold on. Listen, we asked for bread, okay? We asked for bread, and okay, we got the bread, but we didn't get the butter, okay? Okay? What do I got? I'm not leaving a tip. I'm not leaving a good tip. I'm telling you right now. It's probably not like that, but in my fantasy scenario, Warren Buffett just gets really pissed off. He gets pissed off during lunch, the way people do. You know, sends things back. You know that waitress, come here. Excuse me. I asked for this hamburger rare. It's well done. Please. Warren, don't do that. They're going to spit in your food. They will not spit in my food. So I hope that person who spent the $3.5 million, I don't know what the charity is, but I hope that they got something out of it. I hope they got something good out of it. Okay, I'm going to return to a theme that I've talked about on this show, I think, several times, and that is either the lack of English speaking, or how some people can be in this country for a long time and have limited English, if not any English. I've talked about the old Russian guy, you know, who's got three words, hi, hello, good morning. You know, that's it. That's it for him. He's 20 years here. Three words. Okay, or three sentences, whatever. Three phrases. There's another guy in my building. There's about three brothers. They got two apartments between all of them. They're from Guatemala. Nice brothers. And one of them... I think his name is Carlos. Carlos, yes. Now, a few years ago, when I used to smoke my cigar in the courtyard at night, very late at night, and drive many of my neighbors crazy. And Carlos had just come to this country at that point, I believe. And he would sit with me and keep me company. I didn't exactly invite him, but I didn't say he couldn't. And he would take it upon himself to try to teach me Spanish. Now, I was just out there trying to relax, enjoy the evening, smoke my cigar. And at first it was kind of okay. You know, he was giving me certain words. But then after a while, it kind of got on my nerves. It's like, you know, dude, I'm just, you know. And he couldn't. The thing is, he could barely speak English. So it wasn't like I could, you know, we weren't really exchanging information here. And I think what happened that kind of put a damper on our relationship or friendship, and it was, I didn't do this on purpose, but it was during one of the periods when I was abstaining from sugar, as I often do, and he had gotten some candy or something from his country. You know, and some like rock candy or something like that. And he wanted me to try some. And I was like trying to explain to him that, no, thank you. I'm not in the market. I'm not, you know, eating sugar these days. And then he stopped coming out and he was kind of distant from that point on. And then I found out from somebody else, a woman that used to live in this building that I think was either from that country or a country near there, that I more than likely insulted him, because when people from, you know, when they invite you, when they offer something to you, you're supposed to just take it, which is kind of weird, because then what, I mean, then now you're insulting me if I don't want it. I mean, you know, I mean, I just don't want it. I don't like, maybe I don't like that stuff. Why has this become a big thing? Why is your ego tied into rock candy? You know, so, you know, years go by and occasionally I see him and we say hi. You know, we would never stop and talk too much. I would say it's been about, at least 6 years, 7 years, something like that. Maybe 8 years, I don't know. And so he's been here the whole time. And just to show you how you can live in this country and you can make a living and survive without really, you know, just staying within your own group and not venturing out, not learning English. And I ran to him the other day, and my Spanish has improved. I mean, just on my own, because I just have taken it upon myself to learn different phrases, different words, and I practice it sometimes with different people, you know, at my choosing, at my leisure, and it's fun. And I run into him, and it's just like he's trying to communicate with me. Like, you know, it's just like in English, and it was just, I don't know, I'm having a hard time. I'm having a hard time talking this English. And I was going to do an impression of him. Let me see. What was just like, no. I said, are you looking for something? Because he was outside with a flashlight. He goes, hard to look, see. Whoa. I go, oh, man, okay. Later. So I encourage him to learn English if he wants to ever talk to me. And then I went to Koreatown, my friend Jess, and we were the waitress came and took our order, and she could barely speak English. I mean, she had the kind of English that she really should have had a job in just bagging groceries saying paper or plastic. Because, you know, if you said anything besides pointing to what you wanted, she had no idea what you're talking about. And Jess had ordered a Coca-Cola to drink, and it never came, and he just let it go. And then when the bill came, the Coke was on the bill. And then he had a heck of a time explaining to her that he never received the Coke. And she was like, it was like, like a caveman talk, because she's like, no get. And wow, it's hot in here. I'm starting to space out. So, okay, I think I'm almost done with this English portion here. Then I was at I called a Cuban. Right? He's like, so I like to eat food from Hispanic countries, and I called this Cuban place, and I wanted to get this great salad, Caribbean salad, chicken, black beans. Oh, it's great! But the first time I got it, it was a little too salty, so I asked them to not add any salt to the chicken. That's what I do whenever I call now. And this time, this girl answered the phone. Obviously, she had a Hispanic accent. And I ordered. I said, yes, I like the Caribbean salad. Please do not add any salt to the chicken. And she was like, what? And I said, no salt. Chicken, no salt. Oh, okay. And I find out that the Spanish word for salt is sal. So I have no idea. What does she think I said when I said no salt? No sun? No soon? No sooner? Oh, man. I don't know. And the last thing is, I'm in a gas station. Well, this guy could actually speak pretty good English, a Bangladesh guy. But I wanted some ginger ale because I was having a little bit of a stomach issue. And this guy, you know, he's got this cooler with sodas in it. And I'm asking him, you know, for the ginger ale. And he can't find it. I'm going, no, it's to the right. And then he finally found it. You know, and it was just like, and he made the excuse that, you know, he didn't work in that store, in that particular gas station that often. So it doesn't matter. It's still, you still can speak English and read English. And he used to own two gas stations, he told me. So There was no excuse, Mr. Bangladesh, or Sri Lanka. Was it Sri Lanka? No, I think it was Bangladesh. Get those countries confused. Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. I'm at that point again where I just don't know if any of this is funny, but you know what? It's free. Who cares? Okay, we're almost done, folks. Hang in there. I have a couple more things to say. I've got this app on my phone, on my iPhone, a flashlight app. It's free, and it's great. You know, if you put it on and it lights up, you know, like as good as any flashlight. And but they keep wanting me to rate it. So I'll put it on, and then I'm in the dark. I've got the flashlight, and they want me to rate it. And so I said okay, and then I clicked this thing, and like, and now it's like they want me to. I'm standing in the dark. I'm going to write a review in the dark. I mean, really, what am I going to say? It's so I said maybe later, but I mean, why? First of all, it's a free app. You know, I get 80 billion ads, which I'm not reading in the dark. But what am I going to say? It's a flashlight. It lights up the room. By Jove, it's a darn flashlight. But it really is. It's great. So I'm giving the review now, right now. Go get it. It's free. You know, anybody wants a review. I want to, you know, once I get on the iTunes store, I'm going to be hitting you guys up for a review. And it better be good, folks. Better not be a bad review. Okay, we're coming to the end here. The last thing is, I mentioned a few, maybe it was two or three podcasts ago, about a company that I financed some kind of BS chiropractic thing a few years ago. I'm paying like $135 a month, and I usually pay it online, but then when I went to pay it like in April, I couldn't do it because they had upgraded their website, and it was just hard. I had to reestablish. I was trying to re-register, and I couldn't do it, so I called the company, and I got this very nice Indian woman named Nisha, and who was in Arizona. I thought she was in India, but she's in Arizona. And she helped me through, and I paid the bill, and she said, you know, the website should be up the next month. You know, should be okay. And I said, fine, thank you. Well, the next month, I go to do it, and again, I'm having issues. I call, and I get this other girl who happens to know Nisha. They're like two desks away. So she says, listen, I'll help, you know, you could pay the bill to me, and then I'll walk you through registering, and then you'll be okay. And I said, fine, okay. And so we did it, and I paid my bill, and she walked me through. And she said she was going to listen to my podcast, just like Nisha said. I don't know if they have. I haven't heard from them. I don't expect to ever hear from them, but, you know, whatever. If I did, I'd be very surprised. I'd be very overjoyed. And I lost my train of thought here. Okay. Holy mackerel. It's really hot in here, folks. It's really hot. Okay. So I paid the bill. So now all of a sudden I'm getting these robotic, you know, calls from the, you know, hello, this is the company. We're calling for Al Berman. Please call us immediately. So I just thought they'd been calling me before, and it was like a courtesy call. It was kind of BS. And I kept ignoring it. And then I would call and they'd be closed. Finally, I go, okay, I call. And I get through, and I get a guy with a very deep voice. His name is Dwayne. Hi, this is Dwayne from the collections department. And I go, okay, Dwayne, what's going on? He goes, you did not pay your bill in May. And so we're calling to get your bill for your payment. I go, well, Dwayne, wait a minute. I did pay. I paid over the phone. And then he starts to kind of give me, like, attitude. Because, like, when you have a job like you're collecting, you're in collections, I guess you're going to get a lot of attitude. So he gives me a little bit of attitude. So I said, well, hold on. Let me go through my, let me find the actual, you know, because I always mark my bills. I'm not the most organized guy, but I'm fairly organized when it comes to this. So I found the bill. And I said, and it said I paid it on May 18th. And he goes, well, we have a record that you called on May 18th and that that we walked you through the process to be on the website. I go, yes, but I also paid the bill. Oh, we have no record of that. Well, I have it right here. Do you have a confirmation number? Damn, I didn't get a confirmation number. You know, usually, you know, you get confirmation numbers. I've never even had to have one, ever. And I go, no, I didn't, as a matter of fact. So I go, well, hold on. Let me look through my bank statement. I go to see, and lo and behold, they never ran it. They never friggin' ran it. So I apologized to him. Hey, you know, I'm sorry. You know, I apologize. I did pay. You know, he's trying to tell me that it would be impossible to pay over the phone. Like, well, I paid in April. It's not impossible. Nothing's impossible in life. Whatever the mind can conceive and believe, it can achieve. And if I can conceive and believe that I can pay my bill over the phone, then I think I can do that. Okay? Okay. So so he says, like, that he can take my payment. And he wants to take the payment for May. And also he wanted to know about setting up the payment for June. And I said, fine. So first he hits me up with, he goes, okay, that the first payment is $135. And it's a $15 charge to pay over the phone. So I was like, well, could you waive that fee, please, because of the, you know, kind of confusion here. And he goes, and he was cool. He goes, okay, I'll waive that. And so we do that. We do that. Then he goes, all right, now we're going to set up for the next payment, and it's due on the 28th. All right, let's just run it on the 28th of June. Okay. So that will be $135 plus a $25 late fee. And I go, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm not, what do you mean a late fee? I mean, again, there's a confusion. He goes, well, that's nothing. I can't do anything about that. And then I said, okay, all right. But then he, it was very confusing. He said he couldn't do anything about it. Then he said maybe he would take it off later. I don't know. It gets to the point where, the way these companies are run, and I think it's done on purpose, is that they just get you so confused. You just go, you know what? Take the extra money. Take the money and leave me alone. I got to move on and do other things in my life than sit around, pay my, you know, talk about my bill with you. So so that's that. Whew. Man, it's hot. Well, I hope this was entertaining. I think parts of it were. I think there's always parts of this show that are entertaining. And then there's always parts that aren't. So, again, I want to thank anybody and everybody who's been listening to the podcast. It is a little homemade podcast. I'm going to be going in soon, the next few weeks, to get my first of my hip surgery. I'll keep you posted. I'll keep you abreast or a hip on that. And once I get the hips fixed, I'm going to, you know, really concentrate on getting either on an iTunes store, because I haven't been able to figure that out, and I need help with that, and or if I can get onto somebody's network who's got it more together than I do, because I'm just a little one-man operation here. So, again, thanks again, and this is Al Berman, live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, saying thanks again, and I'll speak to you next time.